Now we have our second feature, Harking Back by Emma Brennan, who talks about her memories of the highs and lows of the air show. Your reader is Sarah Lusher.
I've always found it fascinating how different we all are when it comes to what floats our boats, or planes, as in this case. It's strange how one person's dream is another's nightmare, and that's certainly the case with me and my friend. He worked hard to become a commercial airline pilot and has regaled me with stories of jetting off to far-flung destinations, expecting me to be full of awe and envy. However, such is my aversion to aeroplanes, I can honestly say I'd rather have any job that enabled me to keep my feet firmly on the ground. My aversion to aircraft started at an early age, which is odd, seeing as we grew up close to a former Second World War airfield and were used to hearing stories about planes. My father, sister, cousins, aunts and uncles all had a keen interest in all things airborne, so I'm not quite sure why I didn't. In fact, my auntie still travels to a nearby airbase several times a week simply to plane spot. As a child during the Second World War, Mum recalls her sister cutting pieces of wire from planes that had crash-landed to use as hair curlers. She also remembers aircraft flying over the back of their house during the war. She said lots of oak trees had to be felled when the aerodrome was built to enable the planes to fly in so low. Some were literally limping home from battle, and I remember the airmen sitting in the doorways waving to us as they flew in. In fact, Mum's uncle was an air gunner with the RAF, who during a bombing raid in 1941 was forced to bail out over Italy, where he was captured and held prisoner of war, later being transferred to Stalag Luft 6 and eventually being liberated in 1945. But despite these genuine family connections, I still don't see the plane attraction. Living in an area surrounded by American air bases meant several of them would stage annual air shows, much anticipated by the family but dreaded by me. This is borne out by the grumpy look on my face in the few family photos we have of these events. We would all pile in the car along with family friend Fred, who had a passion for plane spotting. I would get travel sick en route, not helped by Fred smoking roll-ups, which he stubbed out with his fingers and stowed in his pocket for later. We would then inevitably have to queue to get onto the airbase before parking in the middle of a field with no markers other than multiple identical windsocks. Hence, we would usually lose the car. A long, long walk would ensue to peruse the static displays, something my dad, uncle and Fred, a mechanic by trade, would really take their time over. They were fascinated with the engines and every other mechanical part, which to an 8-year-old was more than a tad dull. Even the opportunity to look inside Concorde didn't impress me much. I couldn't think for the life of me why people would pay so much to travel in a very fast tin can. I was slightly in awe of the size of the C-5 Galaxy cargo aircraft, which I was told had the capacity to carry 6 Greyhound coaches. Other downsides for me were the lavatories at air shows, which were essentially buckets with a seat that filled very quickly and were every bit as bad as they sound. I'd hang on as long as I possibly could before braving them, another reason for the pained look on my face on the air show photos. The only highlight for me was the afternoon displays when the red arrows would soar past, leaving red, white and blue vapour trails in their wake. The beef burgers, cooked on a barbecue, were not too shoddy either, but were infeasibly large in true US style. My dislike of planes extended to me having no desire to travel on one. I was nervous about the thought of my first flight, so I visited my GP to ask if he had any tips. His reply was, "Don't fly, it's a stupid thing to do. If there's a cow on the runway, only the pilot can avoid it, and I'm not prepared to put my life in someone else's hands." Armed purely with that less than comforting advice, I had no choice but to grin and bear it as I clung to the seat, arms and jetted off to Lanzarote. Henceforth, said GP became known in our family as Dr. Cow on the Runway. I've since endured more than a few grim flights. Once, as we attempted to land in strong crosswinds with passengers placing their heads in the brace position, the man next to me quipped, "Planes have been known to flip over in these conditions, you know." Well, my pilot friend reassured me a plane could glide without an engine for 100 miles. Too bad if you're about 100 miles away from anywhere to land, I replied.
Thank you, Sarah.